Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's feeling good today because I'm feeling good, and I'm sure my wife, Pastor Tasila, is feeling good too. How are you, Tasila? How are you today?
I'm blessed. I am feeling great. I am super blessed. All is well in Jesus' name.
Amen. All is well. And to make things even better, I would like for all of you to pick up your phones or grab your computers. Go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our dial-in number is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture of T-Mar and Tasila or the link on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter if you choose to listen from your computer. Also, keep in mind that Christian Talk is now on KBRG, The Bridge Gospel Radio, every Thursday at 6 p.m. Just go to Radio KBRG, TheBridge.com. I'll say that again. Go to Radio KBRG, TheBridge.com and click on Christian Talk. Tune in and listen from your computer. Oh, also, if you're looking for a place to worship, come and worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. We're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786. That's Church of Jesus Christ Ministry at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Yeah, that's right, in the afternoon, 1:30 p.m. You will find us in an upper room, so come and join us. You will be blessed. So, hey, listen, don't go away because, well, we got some things happening here, and it's... That means it's actually time for TNT moment, a TNT moment. So this is TNT time that you're with us today with on Christian Talk, but we're having a TNT moment. So I want to ask you, Pastor Tasila, what is the question for today?
Woo! And I love this question, and that is, who is the bride?
Who is the bride? Wow.
The bride.
That's a good one.
The army of the Lord. I would say the remnant, all of those are like the same thing. But it's who is the bride. I'll say the church members who has learned to put God in a place of first love.
Yeah.
Would you say that, Pastor T?
They have learned to
make Jesus our first love. He is, and you guys know this, everybody that serves the Lord, that he is the preeminent one. Well, what does that mean? I mean, he is first in everything. First in importance, first in honor, first in exaltation. He is the head of the church and the beginning order of all the firstborn. If you're a church member and you receive Jesus Christ, then Jesus is first of many brethren. He is the firstborn, and you're next up under him. And he is to be placed on high, and actually, he should be sought daily. I know that's what I try to do, and I know Pastor T tries to. And if you're a Christian and you're in a relationship with somebody, you're going to marry somebody, then wouldn't you want to talk to them every day, especially if you're engaged to them? And he said that he gave us an engagement ring. We have an engagement ring, guys. We got an engagement ring from Jesus. It's a down payment of the Holy Spirit until the fullness.
Yes.
And whatever, you guys got to realize something. If you illuminate something or stare at it, is what you become. As a man thinketh, the word says, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Yeah.
So whatever you illuminate and stare at is what you become. And in 2 Corinthians kind of put it like this. It says, but we all with uncovered face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that something? Staring at him because we are making him our first love. But we've been talking about this for some time. I know that Pastor T and I have, and we're going to let you guys in on a little something. Every week we kind of bring out something about the bride and the army of the Lord, are those that are chosen and called by him. So in the past few weeks, we have been speaking on the intimate and true relationship with the Lord. And we spoke last week about Psalms 91, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High, and all that God has for them who makes him their first love. And how Jesus is our first love more than your spouses, your children, your grandchildren, and so on, boyfriends and fiancés and whatever. Jesus is first. And how it says in Psalms 91:14, because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. And everybody wants protection. We want protection from coronavirus, from neighborhoods, from bullies, from all types of things. We need protection right now. But he says, I will greatly, because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure, before my face. See, God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he's showing us in the Psalms that in 91:14 that you are always before me. You know, everybody knows God sees all, knows all, and is everywhere. But he's telling us that I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in a time of pressure and trouble. And this is a relationship that he's talking about.
I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. See, sometimes in the church, they kind of treat you, you just give your life to the Lord and say you believe in Jesus and you're with him, and then you go your way and you're saved. But God is talking about you having a relationship. He says, then the week prior, I'm going to tell you guys, the week prior to that, that we went over how Enoch, how he pleased God so much and was not, because God took him. They were in a great relationship to where God was like, you just come on up here with me, be my buddy. And, you know, in intimacy and in relationship is part of being the bride of Christ. That's who is the bride, those that are in this great intimate relationship and in a close walk with him. And you will see there is no fear of stumbling when you are in this relationship, nor is there any trap laid for him, because you are a winner. You will win because you are an overcomer in this relationship, because Jesus is your redeemer, and that ends the curse. And the yoke will be broken because of his anointing that's going to be on you. And in John 14:23, Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we, the both of them, will come to them and make our home within them. Oh, boy, living under an open heaven and his light and before his face. Ooh, those are some beautiful promises because of what Jesus did for us already. This is not talking about the kingdom of God when we get into the kingdom. These are relationship things that God is talking about. This is bridal talk that the Lord is talking about, that he has with his bride. Because of what Jesus did for us already. He just telling you things that can occur, not just keeping you or covering you or making you safe. He says, anyone who loves me and will obey my teachings, my Father will love them. That's the love of God. And we will come to them, the both of them, and make our home within them. And living, this is just in his light and before his face.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to say. Because of what he's already done. The veil is torn. He tore it. Now we have access from the holy place to the most holy place in Jesus, because of what he has done already. And this is relationship. Matthew 27:50-51, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Well, what do we receive because the temple veil was torn in two? Number one, free, unrestricted access to God the Father through Christ, being in his presence, relationship. These are high-level relationships. And a lot of times people are like, what do I say when I pray? When you talk just like you talk to your friend, you go in, and you don't go in guilt. You go in because of the blood of the Lamb that was already shed for you. So now because he tore this veil, this is a relationship that he has created so that you could go from just the outer courts into the inner courts and have a relationship with the Father. Number two, the opportunity to see God's glory revealed in all the earth. And the heavens declare, it says, the glory of God, as so does all his creation. And you will declare his glory too, because God wants to put his glory on you. And what? In you, on you, upon you.
He wants
to inhabit you. And yes. Number three, an opportunity to become a true son of the living God through rebirth, new birth. Like I said, Jesus was the first of many brethren, and you are going to be born again also. It doesn't just mean salvation. It's something greater than just that. To be born again, it says Christ is the first of many brethren. That means you're going to be born and renewed and resurrected like Jesus Christ was, your whole body, mind, soul, and spirit. All of creation, however, is awaiting the revealing of the sons of God and what God has promised us. And even the creation wants to see the manifestation of the sons of God come forth. Now that Christ has come, God's light has risen on us. Like Isaiah 60, chapter 1 says, we should shine because God's glory has been revealed to us by Christ. And 1 John 1 through 5 says, this is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words. To you, God is pure light. This is what John is telling you. You will never find a trace of darkness in him. If we claim we share life with him but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sins. We share fellowship with him, which is koinonia, having things in common, friendship, relationship, sharing in what he has and who he is, because you have delighted in him. You will be satisfied with the full life with all because of what God has done for you. And God is sharing his Holy Spirit presence with us. And that is bigger and greater than a lot of people think. In the book of Acts, it says to the lovers of God. So here we speak or preach, we are always speaking to those who love God with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and will glorify him as God. See, that is deep, because not only do you have to know God, but you have to glorify him as God. Can't be ashamed of God. You can't be two people, and at home, you'll read your Bible and pray when you wake up, pray when you go to bed, but when you get to work, or when you get out among your friends, you don't know him. And he says here that you will glorify him as God. You got to live your life out loud that he is God. And he says, today I'm talking about a group of people that are deeply in love with the Lord. That is the bride of Christ. That's who the bride of Christ is, a group of people that have a relationship with the Lord, not the ones that, you know, at night, Lord, I need, I want, can you please do this? That's not really a relationship. Jesus said, kiss the Son, kiss him daily. You have to kiss the Lord. You got to have that kind of relationship with him, the bride of Christ. The church, which is his body, that's who you are. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Some people say they love the Lord, but their bodies and minds is their own, and they will do as they please with their bodies and with their minds. And you can have a person that has a family with like five kids, a mother, a father, and seven children or whatever, but each one of those kids will love their parents in the way that they want to love them, in spite of the fact that they were all treated the same and had access to the same provisions. People love according to what is in their hearts. You can have two mothers in the hospital side by side give birth, and one with joy can't wait to take her baby home. so everyone can see it, and another one will give her baby up for an adoption. And neither of them have ever seen these babies before. This is what you call matters of the heart. God reads the hearts. He knows our hearts, and he knows what's in our hearts. Everybody, just because people go to church doesn't mean that they have a love relationship with the Lord. And it doesn't mean that they love the Lord, because everyone's heart is different and people love differently or not. And this is the way it is for the overall church. And even now, there is different levels that people love God. A lot of people don't realize that, but everybody is not in the same place as a Christian. Sometimes people, some Christians expect things out of other Christians that is not in them. It's just not there. And, you know, they're not going to get it, but it's what they do to the Lord is what counts. God is not dysfunctional. Man is dysfunctional, but God is not. Yeah, he loves us. And before they even came, all of us even came to him, he loved us. And even though you love all your friends, there is none like your beautiful husband or wife. And you might have a good relationship with your girlfriends and your guy friends and your buddies and all that. But when you have a wife or a husband, it's different. And you love her or him, and no one else is in that place of love. And that's how it is with the Lord. It says, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your God first. You love the Lord, then you love man or people. And no one else is in that place of love. But there is a love above all loves, and it should be God the Father. And we can read about this. And I call the Sons of Solomon the bridal love story, because you can see where she's speaking to the Lord. She loves him. And then you can see where God is speaking back. But in the Songs of Solomon, it says, it immediately alerts you that this woman is deeply in love. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointment, your name is ointments poured forth. God's name represents his character. Therefore, the virgins love you. The church, the body of Christ, those that are in the church, the lovers of God. And then she says, draw me away. And it's the virgins. You know what Christ talks about the virgins in the Bible? He says five were wise and five were foolish. Well, she's talking, the virgins love you, but not the true bride. The bride is like the Shulamite in this word. And she was deeply in love with the Lord. She waits on her beloved. When he moves, she moves. She is the Holy Spirit led at all times. She's always being led by the Holy Spirit. And we are the bride of Christ, which is also the army of the Lord, the Shulamite, the lily of the valley. The bride is always longing for God and longing for his return. When you are in love with someone, you love to be in their presence. How about that? It's not, Lord, thank you. Mm-hmm. I want to pray for mom, dad, my kids. I want to pray for my job. I want to pray that I be safe and that you help pay the bills. Love you, Lord. Bye. I said, when you are in love with someone, you love to be in their presence. And if you are apart, you long for their return. You can't wait to get back to where they are. And let's just see some bride and bridegroom talk again. In Psalms 84:1, it says, the God of heaven's armies, you find so much beauty in your people. They're like lovely sanctuaries of your presence. I just really love that God is saying that his people are like lovely sanctuaries of his presence, because we're all supposed to be housing the presence of the Lord. That's the union we're in. That's the abode that the Father makes with you. We're housing his presence. Deep within me are these lovesick longings, desires, and daydreams of living in union with you. That's what we're longing for, to be in oneness with the Lord. When the wedding feast arrives, and you all know about that in Matthew, Christ wants to see himself in you. And that's the union he's talking about. Like John 17, when Jesus said that they may be one as you are in me and I am in you, my true source and spring of life, O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God. Psalms 84:4, what pleasure feel those who live every day in your temple, enjoying you as they worship in your presence. When you're in the Lord's presence and you're praying and you're worshiping him and you're spending time with him and you're in a relationship with him, you're having an audience. And if it's every day, it's every day. If it's twice a day, it's twice a day. You're having an audience with the King when you're in his presence. He's paying attention to you, and you're paying attention to him. And it says that he that abideth in that secret place, they grow stronger and stronger with every step forward, and the God of all will appear before them. Because God is telling them to seek his face. And when you seek his face, he's going to show himself strong to you. And he says also that he will wrap his presence and make his defense around us, protection around us. For the Lord God is brighter than the brilliance of the sunshine, wrapping himself around me like a shield. He is so generous with his gifts of grace and glory. Those who walk along his path with integrity will never lack one thing they need, for he provides it all. This is bridal talk. This is what happens when you part of the body of Christ. And another part in Psalms, it says, because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before me. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in time of trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. Oh, bride, you will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of me. The Lord is just really so beautiful. And then it says, a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you loving servants, and all who reverence and honor him, those who are lowly and those who are great. Revelations 21, and the angel said, come, I will show you the beautiful bride, the wife of the Lamb. He carried me away in the realm of the Spirit to the top of the great high mountain. There he showed me the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It was infused with the glory of God, and its radiance was like that of a very rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. And then the bride comes back and says in Revelation 19, let us exalt him and give him glory, because the wedding celebration of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready with fine linen. Shining, bright, and clear has been given to her to wear. And the fine linen represents the righteous deeds of his holy believers. Then the angel said to me, write these words wonderfully, and blessed are those who are invited to the feast of the wedding celebration of the Lamb. Then he said to me, these are the true words of God, and that the Spirit and the bride says, come. Let everyone who hears this do it, say, come to the wedding. Tell the people. Don't just settle for signs and wonders, but truly desire the manifested presence of God. That is what will transform the people into the glorious power and presence of God, and a true Holy Spirit union can be with God when you desire him with all your heart. The church and every member is the bride of Christ, if you want to be. It's a relationship that you nurture.
Yes.
If you want to. Right, Pastor T?
That's absolutely right. And, you know, we're going to be right back after that powerful message, Pastor Tosila. I'm going to give the people a little break, and then we'll come back. And I'll also answer the question of who is the bride of Christ. Very good.
I really
enjoyed that. Praise the Lord.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to
to TNT Time on Christian Talk. And I'm here with Pastor Tosila, and I'm T. Meyer McCain, and we're so happy to come to you and answer many of your questions or either discuss some of the topics and things and issues that's going on in the Christian spiritual world, in the supernatural Christian world. Amen. Now, the question is, who is the bride of Christ? That's the question, and the answer is simple, and Pastor Tosila really gave it to us. Those who desire Christ, those who walk mm-hmm. close to him, those who have a mm-hmm. true relationship with him, those who answers the call. The call goes out to all people, but only those who have an ear to hear and answer the call, they're the ones. That's the bride. When they answer the call, then a true desire develops. We begin to long for the Lord, just like the psalmist longed for the Lord in Psalm 84, verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The bride is the church, which is his body. The bride is truly preparing herself to be one with the Lord. That's her true desire, her only desire. Here's a mystery for you. And Pastor Tosila brought this out very beautifully. All of Christianity is not the bride. God's bride is a remnant who have totally dedicated their lives to one, to be one with Christ Jesus the Son for the glory of God the Father. That's the mystery. Those who have really made up their minds, and it's a shame that all Christianity couldn't fit that. If all Christianity would totally dedicate their lives to be one with Jesus Christ. Think about that. The Son of God, for the glory of God the Father, then the entire church, the entire Christianity would be the bride. The bride works in partnership with the Holy Spirit in calling all to drink of the water of life. They work with the Holy Spirit in bringing souls into the kingdom realm of God. Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the tree of life freely. Jesus loves his bride more than Abraham loved Sarah, more than Isaac loved Rebekah, more than Jacob loved Rachel, and his bride has great favor in the eyes of the Lord. Great favor, even more than Esther had favor in the eyes of King Ahasuerus, who would put out his scepter. This is what the king would do. He would put out his scepter in order to give you permission to come before him. If he don't put out that scepter, you can't come near him. Otherwise, you will be killed. That's how serious it was. He had that scepter. If you approach the king without him handing or reaching out or putting out his scepter, you will be killed. But Esther ran to the king before he could put out his scepter, and she was spared because she had great favor in his sight. You see, Jesus loves his bride more than Boaz loved Ruth. Boaz is the one who covered Ruth with his mantle, just as Jesus Christ covers his bride with his mantle, and his mantle is the Holy Spirit. The bride of Christ sits on the throne with Jesus Christ, her husband. She is the church that endureth to the end because she has a special relationship with him. She loves him. She sits with him on his throne. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. We must be overcomers. We must endure to the end. Hold on to Jesus Christ. The church that holds the testimony of Jesus Christ is his bride. She is the church that is faithful to him. She walks upright before him. She is a small group of people who are highly anointed with the seven spirits of God and to do God's perfect will in this hour. The true bride of Christ are among those Christians who are ready. They are prepared. They have kept their relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, and the light of God never departed or will never depart from them. They are chaste virgins prepared to meet the Lord, their bridegroom. They have prepared themselves to meet their husband. You see, the bride is with the bridegroom when he comes. You see, that scripture says that they went to see the bride and the bridegroom. So the bride is with the bridegroom when they come. And they're coming to invite other virgins or others in the church because they want to call them to the wedding. Once the bride and the bridegroom is connected, it's a blessing to everybody. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They lost the fire because they didn't have enough Holy Spirit This is the church that lost the fire because you didn't hold on to the Holy Spirit. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. See, it's a sleeping church in this hour. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. That cry in the midnight hour, that's the prophetic voice. That's your real true anointed leaders that's trying to help prepare God's people to meet the Lord. He says, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Yeah, go back to that religious system and go ahead and try to buy the Holy Spirit. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly I say unto you, I know you not. You didn't keep the relationship. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We must be prepared. Because when he comes, he's going to come in his glory, and those who are ready will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they will be connected to him. The bride is a blessing to the world. She is so blessed that God sends his servants, his angels, his prophets, apostles, pastors, and messengers out into the world to invite whosoever will to come to the wedding feast of the bride and the bridegroom. Luke 14, verse 21 through 24. So that the servant of the Lord, came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry because he had sent his servants out to call the church, but the church made excuses. God's people made excuses why they can't come. One excuse after another why they couldn't come to his feast, the feast of the bride and the bridegroom. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. He went out, he did that, and he came back, and he said, it is done as thou hast commanded. And yet there's still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. None of them that were bidden. So the call goes out even now together, God's bride. He wants a bride. He wants a big bride. He wants a large amount of people to be his bride. But it always seemed to turn out that it's always just a remnant that seems to hear or have an ear to hear or answer the call first. And that's okay, because God blesses that remnant for the others, for the majority. If you are not the bride, then make sure you come at least to the wedding feast. You don't want to be like those who were invited, but they wouldn't come. The call goes out, and some take heed and answer the first call to be his bride. Then another call goes out for you to enter into his kingdom. All I have to say to you is this. Answer the call. Answer as soon as you hear it. Stop running from the Lord and submit to him. You could very well be his bride. Do you long for the Lord? And I don't mean just being religious and saying a bunch of cliches, you know. I mean, do you really love the Lord? Do you desire to be married to him? To be married to the Lord means to get into a supernatural oneness with him. You in him and he in you. Now, this is literal now. This is not just a little mental thing or just a little saying. God is really, he really wants to be in you, and he wants you to be in him. A oneness that no one or nothing can separate you. Nobody, nothing can separate you from the Lord. Once you're in that oneness, it is an impossibility to be separated. The bride is the church who loves the Lord with all their hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and love their neighbor as themselves. Can you find a group of people that truly do that right now? You see, to love your neighbor as yourself means that you would lay down your life for your neighbor, like Jesus laid down his life for us. Do you have that kind of love? This is a serious thing. This is a serious level to walk to be the bride of Christ. You have to be like Jesus Christ. You have to love like Jesus, think like Jesus. You don't have your own personal opinion. Your opinion is Jesus' opinion. Jesus gives you our opinion or gives you your opinion. You have to see things the way God sees it. You have to love how he loves. Understand how he understands. Have his wisdom, his knowledge and understanding. You see, the bride has submitted themselves to Jesus Christ completely because he loves them so much that he died for his church in order for him to work a work in them or in us so that he can present his bride, his church, to himself as a perfect church. Ephesians says this very beautifully, chapter 5, verses 26 and 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Talking about his church, us. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. We have to be perfect as he is perfect or any such thing. And don't worry, it's not you that's going to make yourself perfect. He will. All he wants you to do is submit and allow him to work the work in you. That's our part. But that it should be holy. The church, he wants to be holy and without blemish. Jesus takes the time to make his bride or his wife perfect as he is perfect, so that she, along with him, can bring many souls, many, many souls into the kingdom realm of God. That's what he wants. That's why the bride is such a high calling. It's such a place that you can't just take it upon yourself. You have to really, really love the Lord. Remember now, we're living in the times when the Lord judged the hearts of people. So you can't play a religious game with Jesus. You have to really love him and really desire to be one with him. That is the first and foremost thing in your heart. You may have your careers, you may have your jobs and this and that you do, but first and foremost is that you want to be one with Jesus Christ, our Lord, our bridegroom. That's what the Lord is looking for. Sincere people who will not be afraid. They will not back down. They know what they want. They know who they want, and they move forward on a straight and narrow pathway. That straight and narrow pathway, it can be strict, a strict pathway that you can't move too far to the right or to the left because you are determined to make your way to your bridegroom. So you stay on that pathway, and although Satan and people will throw obstacles in your way while you're on this pathway, still, you stay on that pathway because you are determined to finish the course. These are the type of people that God is looking for to be his bride. And if you fit that description, then you are his bride. Just stay there. Don't move. Don't let anybody move you from your place. Don't let anyone take you from your God-given, ordained destiny. Don't let anybody take it. One day, I think it was Benny Hinn said to my wife, "Don't let nobody take your crown. Don't let nobody take your crown. Because if you refuse the Lord, he will give your crown to somebody else. So you can't let that happen. You've got to stay there. You've got to be determined to finish this course. Love your life. Love not your life unto the death." That's what he's saying. In other words, it's like you put Jesus first so much that you don't even care about your own life or what happens to you, as long as you get to be with him is the bottom line. That's your bottom line. Think about it. This is for people that really want this. Don't just call yourself the bride of Christ. There's more to it than just calling yourself the bride. You've got to pay the cost. You've got to do the work. You've got to press in to this very high place. Because remember, once you are the bride of Christ, well, if Jesus is the king, then guess what? His church is the queen, and she sits with him on his throne. So that's a high place. And those that the bride and the bridegroom will be over, those that they will rule over will be the others that didn't answer the first call to be his bride. But you did answer the second call to enter into his kingdom. That's why the Spirit and the bride says, "Come." They have joined with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in them and upon them and around them. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they think the thoughts of Jesus Christ, and they do the works of Jesus Christ, and they call the people to come. Come, come to the kingdom. Come and live forever. Take of the water of life freely, the Holy Spirit, freely. Come. The Spirit and the bride is saying that. They're speaking the same language because they are one. They are speaking as one. So desire this. It's not too late. Answer the call to be his bride. Say, "Yes, Lord, yes." And he will help you. That's why the Holy Spirit is here, to help us make it to the end, to help us endure. Don't ignore it. Don't let others, demons or people, don't let anyone take you off course. Stay there. This is such a high calling, a great and high calling. Don't go away. We'll be right back. The Lord is calling us. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're listening to TNT Time on Christian Talk. Pastor Tasila, we just have a few minutes left. Is there anything that you would like to say to our listeners?
Oh, yes. I want to tell the people that you cannot enter into the new, that God is prepared for us unless you see the dying of the old. And God is about to up the ante on every front. And I mean with pastors and leaders. And there's two streams that are forming. And some of the pastors and leaders, they can see more is coming. But if they change, they might lose their church. But remember, only Joshua and Caleb went in. And the church is right at that point. One will produce unity, and the other one will produce ever-increasing confusion and disunity. So the house is either the house of Saul will be replaced with the house of David. And that is what is going to happen. God is changing things. He's bringing a union and unity with each other where there's no jealousies among the churches. And he has already made the veil thinner, and the two armies are going to be fighting together. And the Lord is bringing us into oneness and unity and faith in him. So get in line. Let's go. Saints, those of you that belong to the Lord, you know who you are. You know the Lord loves you, and you know he already told you a lot of this stuff. So get in unity and with Jesus and love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and let's fight the good fight. Amen.
Amen. And on that note, everybody have a blessed week, blessed evening, and we will see you next week at the same time. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.